Caucus of the regular meeting of March 14, 2023. Debbie, would you please call the roll?
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Grandal?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliani?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Laverca?
Here.
Ball Channing?
Here.
And we're going to just go a little bit out of order today, as far as the legislation goes, so I direct everyone's attention to page 4 of the agenda. And it's two ordinances there at the bottom of the page, ordinance number 2023-24 and 2023-25. They're companion legislations. 2023-24 reads, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Botana to establish an epinephrine auto-injector program for food allergies. And that combines with ordinance 25, which is ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Allison Rose Foundation to establish an epinephrine auto-injector program for food allergies. Mayor, would you want to?
Yeah, if Chief, you want to follow up on that, and Mike can come
on
up.
That one or those ones?
That's a good point.
Come on up.
Come on up, Mike.
Essentially, you know, in a nutshell, I believe that the one with Covanta was to establish an MOU with the pharmacy side of it, and then the other one was the Allison Rose in terms of providing the heavy medication for us.
And the training as well.
Yes.
And Independence obviously means a lot to me and my family, so having this here is one of the first cities is special to us. So thank you guys.
Well, thank you.
And thank Chief Riga for bringing this along.
So essentially, the program would be to provide an EpiPen behind the counter in a food service area, a concession stand that would be available. Only trained personnel have gone through the training process to identify an allergic reaction that's taking place. Would have access to that to administer that in an emergency. And there's strict protocols on it, so as long as we're following the protocol and is in place and then proper training, it shouldn't be an issue. Again, time is of the essence when there's an allergic reaction happening. So therein lies the value to this program.
And Chief, will this be just at the city facilities? Will that be including the school facilities also?
Well, schools are in a different
school already program. Has it. Independent schools already has it. The locations may be necessary. The training, the epinephrine, just can take the box that's in, we all provide for free.
So that will be mounted in there behind the concessions in a place where they can see it, but again, only trained people. It's not like AEDs where it's out to the public and they can grab it. The auto injector is automatic. It actually talks to you and tells you where to apply it and how to apply it. You can elaborate on that a little bit. Is
there, can we show you? I have one.
So are we going to have these in the squad for at home day or anything also?
They would probably be in the concessions areas during home days, but the firefighters will be on site with EMS supplies as well. So obviously they're going to contact, part of the protocol would be to contact 911 and get us rolling as well. So we will be responding to this.
This bridges the gap before we can get there as EMS. It's like an AED because this is what you guys will have in the box. This is obviously a trainer. They all have a safety cap. Obviously, I hold it there, but it's really easy to use. Talks to you. Sometimes it doesn't stop talking. like a teenager. but break them all. There we go. They're really good devices. This is what when we provide it, this is what we look to do because it really bridges the gap for us getting there with more epinephrine. And it's, you can't go wrong using it. If you use it, it's not a reaction. It's not going to hurt anybody. We all naturally produce epinephrine. This is just a booster of it. So it's just, I mean, Chief Regal will test. If this isn't used and we roll on scene, we have an uphill fight. If this is given, it makes us, our job a lot easier in the back of the ambulance. So we're just trying to get it, our foundation raised money this year to get it in a lot of non-school entities. We're getting in a ton of schools, but cities, villages, communities, restaurants, we're trying to get as much of this in there as we can as long as we do our training for them.
What about churches?
Yeah, reach out to us and we'll get it. We'll do training. We've got a couple already.
St. Michael's had one already?
They don't. The school has got the training, but they don't have, I don't believe they have the stock copy.
Yeah. Can you use that device multiple times or just use it once?
There'll be two in there though in the box.
Oh, okay.
So part of the protocol would be if it's used, they would, fire department take that back and contact them for replacement.
And will we have one of these stations in the Civic Center?
Yes, we'll be doing it in concession areas, so probably the kitchen at the Civic Center, field house. We'll have to take a deep dive into where we actually place them and how often that those areas are being utilized as concessions. So, like being the press box, it might be their part of the year. Kind of how we have to look at it.
Full concession.
Is that the same booster for children and adults?
There's a pediatric under 60 pounds and over, so you could do one of each, but get two, however many, and split them and have one of each in the box. A lot of schools do that, like where there's a concession stand or a gym where kids are coming to game all different ages, they'll have adult and pediatric. But in an emergency situation, you can use adult on a pediatric and a pediatric on an adult if needed.
Sir, did you, my question isn't necessarily for you, it's kind of on the city's end. So in the MOU, it has a term and condition that's not filled in. How long are we contemplating utilizing this program?
Well, if it's successful, we want to try to keep it in place.
Forever. As long as we keep raising money.
Yeah. I mean, there might be a point in time we have to fund it or funding fall short 3 hours in a row.
And then the second question I had was similar to that. On the liability insurance, do you file a certificate with us that you keep that liability insurance? Or how is that?
It's spelled out in the MOU.
I was reading that and it wasn't clear to me, so.
I believe it's covered in there. It's the best I can say. Okay.
Yeah, I think we have to follow the protocol as far as somebody has to take a state class, at least probably me or someone else, but.
And as far as liability with these, there's state law, the Good Samaritan law, that protects an individual as long as they're using it in good faith, that they can't be held liable regardless of the outcome. So you're kind of, the user is protected by that.
What's the shelf life?
1 year. Except during COVID, went for 18 months.
And does the fire department, Ben, I know the fire department checks the AEDs, like in the Methodist Church, but would they also then make sure that they could keep the stations up to date?
Yeah, we would inspect those annually and get them in place.
We put them on an email reminder as well. We'll have a form that'll say, you know, hey, yours are expiring. Let's get the process going for refill.
We currently do that with our drug boxes that are on the ambulances.
Any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you guys for letting me go first.
Thank you,
another
Mike.
Meeting to do the same thing.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Council. I need that there be no problems with this on the consent agenda this evening, both issues. Thank you very much. We'll go back now to the beginning of the agenda on page 2. And we start with ordinance number 2022-15. It's an ordinance authorizing the hiring of American Fireworks Company for professional services for the July 4th, home days, and the tree lighting fireworks display for 2023 in a total amount not to exceed $47,300. And I think, Chief, that provides us that unless there's a delay, or unless there's a reason for the weather.
Yeah, the contract is almost identical to last year, with the exception that they added a 10% cost if we had to use the rain date. I come to find that this is a standard provision within the industry that put this in a contract. American Fireworks has not done that in the past, but they're They had a lot of cities back out or not use a regular day last year, so they incurred some costs, and then they decided to implement it now. So I guess they were just late to doing that. As you know, we always try to get the show in, rain or shine. But it is something that's sitting there as a possibility, so that's why I put that in there as a, it might as well get it approved now if that happens, but it will have to go back to council.
I understood that the attendance for the one in at the Fall Fest was rather slim. And I know that initially there was a proposal last year for two fireworks and another one was added. Is there any thought in cutting back just the two summer ones, the Home Days one and the 4th of July one?
I think there was one at Fall Fest, was there?
No, the Tree Lights.
Tree Lights. All right, did I say Fall? I apologize.
I mean, that would really be up to council if they want to do that. I mean, I can get another quote, but you just have to let me know which. So you two would cut out the Fall Fest or the Tree Lighting, which?
The Tree Lighting.
We didn't have a...
Yeah, sorry.
I will be in favor of eliminating Tree Lighting.
Not me. The people are, I thought it was very well attended. People really appreciate it. It's not just the people attending it there. If you drive around the city before that event, you'll notice all the people in different parts of the community that don't have the foliage blocking their, as an obstruction, they really enjoy it, so.
Yeah, just personally attending the Christmas tree lighting this past season, there was a pretty good delay. They had a load horses and load reindeer and people out and people were confused as to if the fireworks were really going off, and then they did go off. I'd say there were maybe 15 to 70 people that were still in the park area. So for a cost of whatever it is, $15,000, $18,000, it seems pretty excessive to me.
I think the attendance was much better than that. And if you, like I said, you can't just work that, focus on people in attendance at the site. Drive around to Elmarge, to Dora, to the new estates, everything on the west side of 77. I think they really appreciated it.
So I'm not concerned about that so much, but Chief, if we have a rain day on Home Days, what would we do? I mean, you're not going to have them go off on Sunday. What would we do?
Well, typically we would shoot the next day because a lot of times they're set up and they start set up at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so they're ready to go by 5 or 6 o'clock. So if the rain rolls in, they're not going to break everything down. They'll just cover and wait until the next day. If they have to break down completely, and if we change the date of the rain date, then we incur some higher costs. I think a 25% cost if we move it to a different date. If we cancel completely, I think it's a 50% cost. So that's why it's kind of advantageous to have the rain date, to shoot the next day. I know the 4th of July kind of fell strange this year. We usually shoot on the 3rd, but then it'd be in the middle of the week on a Wednesday, so we moved that to a Friday. We thought it would be more conducive for everybody to attend on a Friday. That's why that one is set up that way. It's the 3rd and the 7th.
Chief, I think with the council person, I'm just trying to get it is that if these are set up to be like Saturday on Home Days, and there's a rain delay, then no one would be at the park on Sunday.
Home Days is over, right?
Yeah.
Well,
would make sense to have it.
I get that, but that's Saturday. A rain day is a rain day.
Or just cancel. Either way, that's why.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, but it's not.
I mean, we could always shoot on Friday and then we're going to get it Saturday, but then the big draw would be.
Big draws on Friday then, so it's there. It's a good question, but I think maybe.
If you don't have it, if it's not Home Days, why have it?
Why have it, yeah, exactly.
So that would be the one variable.
You bite the bullet and you save 50% and you put it towards next year's or something, but I mean, why even have it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because it's a gamble you got to take.
It makes sense for 4th of July because we don't
have
to do it on the 4th of July.
Right. That is, you have a little more variability on the 4th of July event because there's like an activity range.
Yeah,
If we don't have it on home days, Saturday night, it's really, doesn't work.
Years ago.
Yeah, well, before you and I were active.
Yes.
So if you want to just, if you don't want to have it, it's council's prerogative if you want to eliminate home days because it's such a defined time, that might be one prerogative. If not, we take the 50% and apply it to next year.
Well, actually, do we originally, we just originally voted for the 2 days. Was that 4th of July and the tree lighting, I believe, wasn't it? They bring home days there?
Oh, yes, we had home days.
No, but we originally did Independence Day and then home days.
And then we added Christmas tree lighting.
We had Independence Day, yeah. Yeah, 4th of July is one that we added back on.
Yes, that's the one, that's right.
So I think 4th of July and the tree, Winterfest and the tree lighting are the two that are more flexible. The other one, home days, it's hard, it's not predictable, but.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the last couple of years we've had rain either before the event started, during it, so there's guys on those will be shot anyway.
You had the same issue with the tree lighting as well, the rain the day of the tree lighting.
Yep.
And then if it gets rained out of tree lighting, you have the same problem with home days. You're going to shoot it up on another day when you don't have the
weather. Yeah. We had some potentially high wind conditions, I think.
Oh, that was tree lighting.
Yeah,
it was
high wind.
But it calmed down. So.
Well, is this an appropriate time to just drop back to the 4th of July and have it be a large one? We do have the flexibility of a different date. So maybe instead of, you know, spreading out, maybe we do back to a little bit larger one for the 4th of July and eliminate the other two.
Not me.
I would make that motion.
I will second that motion.
I just think it's narrow, it's too narrow focused, one event. We've had success in the other events, so.
Well, if we alter this, I think it's about either one event or two. We still go in, that's a different contract altogether.
Yeah, we can always.
We can always amend this contract.
I'll just see how busy they are during that timeframe. They have other tree lightings going on, but I don't think it's as busy as the 4th. So, I mean, that date, I'm assuming, could be available if we decide to do it later in the year.
The 4th is the most important because that's the one that's, the other two are more around our schedule, not fireworks schedule. But I would not be in support of, favor of limiting both the other events. That's my position, but it's council's decision.
We have a motion.
We have a motion on the,
and
on the floor. Call the roll, please.
DiGeronimo?
The motion is to
eliminate.
4th of July only.
No,
no 4th of July.
Eliminate the other two.
I'll say no.
Grindel?
No.
Narduzzi?
No.
Tagliati?
Yes.
Trakis?
Nay.
Viverka?
Yes.
Well, Chanowitz.
No.
It fails.
Motion fails.
5-2.
If there's an open, if there's willingness to do something else, I mean, I'm open to it. It's just that I didn't think it was fair to just eliminate two of the events. Home days is less predictable, and there's not an alternative.
That's, if I was, I would be in favor of eliminating the home days one and retaining the other two.
Do you have a much larger attendance at home days than you do the Christmas tree light? So as far as viewership and dollars spent per individual viewing, I think you get a better bang for your buck with home days.
Hey, I like that.
I do the mayor mentioned that a lot of people watch from their home or from other
calls I get from the people throughout the city during the winter event because there's no foliage, they can see it. It's amazing how the impact of that one because people have access to it visually. without having to leave their home or leave their neighbor, their yard.
Dave, are you making a motion to eliminate home days?
We'll see, I make the motion to eliminate the August 5th home day.
I would second that.
I mean, it's like we've got them now, now you're gonna start taking them away, I just don't get it. I mean, it works, guys, I mean, I don't know.
But we ended up, Tom, having three because of scheduling issues. Basically, the big focus initially was the 4th of July, it made it very special. And then by adding the other ones, it kind of diluted it. So, I mean, you say reducing it, but I guess my comment is making it more special. So for that reason, I support Dave's motion.
Yeah, if I look every night at Disney World, that's special, right?
Never been there, so I'm glad to go.
A lot of people go out of town for home days too, they're not around, they're taking vacations, so.
We have a motion and a second.
Call roll?
Tomasino.
Sure. DeGeronimo.
No.
Grindel.
Yes.
Narduzzi.
No.
Tagliati.
No.
Tracus.
Nay.
Paverka.
Yes.
Walchanowicz.
No. Okay, that one fails too. Okay, looks like we're gonna have three fireworks.
Well, we gotta vote on that now.
If, yeah, well.
We'll vote on it.
I bet you that's not on the consent agenda.
No, I'm not even bringing it up.
Do we need a motion to eliminate a rain date on home days, were you set on that, or is that?
Yeah, we just shut it down, and we'll just go to next year, pull it out.
I think it might cost us money to move that show, or, you know, because they're already planning, getting the product together, rentals and whatnot, but. Yeah.
Why don't you talk to them, we're a good customer, see how flexible they'll be.
Well, might I suggest, like, approving the 4th of July show, and then I'll go back to them and see what other opportunities we have with changing the show, maybe on, I think, December, and see what else they can come up that would fit that event a little better.
So what you're saying is if we, see, if we have a rain date for home days, we can't just transpose it, move it over to the.
It's gonna be incorrect, we're gonna incur some costs on that.
Why don't we give the chief authority to negotiate whatever he can negotiate?
I'm okay voting on this, but if it's just.
Voted subject to the chief's.
We're not gonna do a rain date for home days.
Yeah.
Okay, a rain date for home days.
As amended.
Between amendment or?
I guess I'm gonna have to find out, you know, if we can definitely move that product without current costs and stuff like that, otherwise we're just building in a loss right there. So.
Do we approve the cost of all three? Because it's only gonna get lower if they.
Yeah.
If they take it, if they work with.
So we can approve legislation subject to the chief's review, and he may come up with something.
We can amend the legislation at the next meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
Or we could use, keep it on.
Leave it on.
First reading?
I think if you could do a not to exceed amount, then I'll go back and ask him for a different contract, see how we can improve this.
Okay.
That way the mayor can approve it.
Keep the same amount.
We'll leave the same amount, not to exceed. How's that? And if they won't be flexible, then we'll get back and we'll adjust accordingly. Fair enough?
So we're not to exceed.
So we're just amending it to the motion to add the verbiage not to exceed?
It's already in there.
It's already in there, perfect.
Right after we start.
Okay.
So we'll move on to ordinance number 2022-16. It's ordinance amending ordinance 2022-137, authorizing the purchase delivery of four new 2023 Ford Explorer interceptors for the police department. And Chief, I don't know if you wanted to take on this, I know we've gotten action, we took this phone survey and everything, and I think everybody had consented to the change here. And I think you saw an opportunity that you really had a pounce on it.
Yeah, this was a unique opportunity, Councilman. I first want to thank all of Council for supporting us. As you all recall, last year we did not get any new cruisers. We typically switch around four cruisers per year as they age out, wear and tear, items like that. The city of Kent passed on some cruisers. We had to act very quickly in order to get them. Dennis brought this to us, and they're here in our parking lot right now. We met with Hall Public Safety to get them outfitted. We're excited, we appreciate your support.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions?
Chief, would you just give us a quick, the rest of us are aware, but what's the difference of $5,000 per cruiser? What was the big difference as far as the equipment?
So there's a slightly different engine, and Dennis can speak on this a little bit. There's some certain wiring that is in these cars. There's also something of a backup sound system. I have this in my personal car, where you back up and it like beeps, like what area is. So like it kind of gives you a total backup perimeter for safety. Our current cars do not have that. Also, it has some lights already in it. So Hall Public Safety came out and they noted that, hey, you already have this feature, we are going to lower your bill because you already have such and such done. So there were some things that already progressed that our cars normally do not come with. These were higher in that regard. I don't know if Dennis knows any other features.
Yes, you know, basically there's three components that increase the cost of the vehicles. One was the backup camera system, the way it activates, and the quality of it. Second one is there's a perimeter warning system that's around the vehicle that protects the vehicle for 270 degrees. The third component that was an increase in cost was for the different size engine. These cars were spec'd out and built for the city of Kent. You know, typically we do not outfit our cars with these options on them. Although, you know, I had some little discussion with the, you know, chief that it might be something that, you know, we would consider down the road. But, you know, as for now, that's what the biggest increase in cost was for.
And I think you told me, Dennis, and just correct me if I'm wrong, when we called, originally there were 7. And we're like, we'll take 4. And they're like, good, because there's only one left after that. So people were already, other departments were already jumping on this because there are no cruisers available. There's a chance this year that at the end of the year they tell us the same thing as last year. We're going to cancel your order and you have to pay us more money for the same car next year.
And yes, so the original order we placed it with Valley Ford. I contacted Valley Ford about this, and Valley Ford, you know, said, hey, look, if you guys can get that, you know, we recommend you guys jump on it, because the order that we have in there currently has not been scheduled for production.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you. And then we bought through the cooperative purchasing program too, I believe.
Yes.
Not the same one, but I no problem putting this on the consent agenda this evening.
They go faster than our existing vehicles. The ones you ordered, the ones we previously ordered, have a top maximum speed of 136. These have a top speed of 148.
catch those bad guys.
Not as fast as the radio.
That's right.
Very good. We move on now to ordinance number 2023-17. This ordinance authorizing the purchase of a sidewalk snow plow machine for the service department. And Ron, now the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So the rental period on this machine is from November 3rd until April 15, 2023. The lease price was $40,000, which will go towards the purchase price if we purchase the machine before April 15th. And the remaining purchase price will be $152,800. Although this winter has not been as bad as we planned for, we did get to use the machine and it turned out to be invaluable. The snowstorm at Christmas and the storm on January 13th, both times this machine along with the wagon machine enabled us to plow the sidewalks twice during the storm. The machine was very easy to operate and was complete workhorse during the storms. We have spoken to the dealers, and we've been informing others who own this machine run an asphalt mill with it and also a flannel mower attachment. Currently, we are doing our own due diligence with the machine and the attachments to increase our comfort level before we install additional attachments. We are looking at things like hydraulic pumps and pressures, the oil viscosities, and the mounting capabilities, along with the weight distributions. And we are being told that we can run six-tier attachments on this machine as well. However, I still want to continue our due diligence before hooking anything up. Today, I'm asking council for council's approval to exercise the city
questions for Ron?
Ron, are there any other tracks that would be on it in the summer months when the conditions are different, or does it use the same tracks here?
I believe there is a wheel system we can put on it, but I believe there's a wheel system we can put on it.
Thank you.
Fred, is part of that due diligence that you're going to complete and maybe with Dennis's assistance include ensuring that if we do, if the city does put out any of these attachments, that the warranty won't be invalidated?
Correct, absolutely, I'm looking at it for sure. And that's what we're dealing with, is the manufacturer, how to put other implements on it, so we maybe don't put the warranty.
And did we utilize the snow blower attachment at all this year?
We did not use the blower on the monitor this year, no. We did not get enough snow to actually use it. We did utilize the heat blower.
Any other questions?
Ron, any pickup of labor savings that we identified? This machine was faster,
so
than existing. Did we find some savings along the way?
Typically, this sidewalk machine did the same amount of work as Volkswagen machines, so it increased efficiency tremendously.
And we still had all three out?
We did.
Any other questions? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda? See none. Debbie, if you go on the consent agenda, please. Thank you, Ron. We move to page 3 of the agenda. Ordinance 2023-18. This ordinance accepting the proposal of JMP Hospitality for professional food and beverage design and consulting services for the Civic Center kitchen renovation project, an amount not to exceed $5,981. Emily, Porter.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Community Services was introduced to JME Design through our partnership with US Food, and so Des and I had a chance to meet with them virtually to talk about the services they provide and how we can potentially best assist us with the kitchen renovation. And we felt very strongly after meeting with them that there's tremendous value in working with them from the start to the finish of the project. Essentially, what they would do is not only from a design aspect, design the space, but also serve as a project manager. So, bidding out for appliances, bidding out for the construction work that would be done to the space to accommodate the new design, the new appliances. And again, just the tremendous value of their expertise into this space we thought was invaluable and worthwhile to pursue them as a partner in this project. And while the amount is under the possible $15,000 amount that typically was for council, because this is the larger project that we're looking at, wanted to be transparent with council and sharing this number with them and giving their approval.
Thank you, Emily. Any questions for Emily on this?
And Emily, you indicated that we are not required to purchase any of the appliances from them.
So JME would bid out the appliances, and so they have a unique partnership with US Foods in the sense that they're not obligated to use US Foods for appliances, but we have asked them to be included in the bid process for appliances just because of our major relationship, but they're under no obligation there.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Maybe it's a legal question. On page 10, number 6, the ownership of the documents. I don't know if that's typical, but it says we're hiring them, although they're going to retain ownership of the documents. Is that typical in a architectural process like this? So at the end of the day, we can't do what we want with the schematics.
Dennis might be able to best speak to that aspect.
You know, I think that's probably a better question for Greg O'Brien to answer. In the past, what that means is that we can't take that document and pass it on to other cities and so forth. It is there, we can use it for our own use, but it can't be passed on to other communities. Someone else would have a similar space.
Is Greg O'Brien on the meeting?
Yeah. So the what is the question? Because I didn't hear the statement now.
On page 10, Greg, part 6, ownership of the documents.
drawings are the property of the consultant, whether the project for which they are made be executed or not. So is that typical when we hire a designer that they retain ownership of the documents?
Well, usually it's a work for hire, and the actual design would be for us as a customer. It's not atypical in design architects. That's usually a standard drop-in condition for architects. Candidly, it would be their intellectual property, and that is exactly what Dennis explained, that we couldn't have a design for our city, assuming there was 20 other cities identical to our city, we couldn't provide it to them. They'd have to contact this vendor for a similar design so the designer could be paid. So it is for these types of contracts in the private sector. One could argue whether or not the design is a public record, but we could, if someone asked for, or we could research that, because intellectual property is one of the exceptions, trade secrets is one of the exceptions. So it's a legal question. I hate to go on about it, but it is typical for these types of designs. But it wouldn't surprise me if someone asked for a copy of the design and whether or not we have to provide that to them as a matter of public record. I have to look at it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any opposition to putting this on the consent agenda? Hearing none, family, thank you very much.
Thank you, Council.
We move to ordinance number 2023-19. It's an ordinance authorizing the retention of Johnson Controls Fire Protection LP to provide fire alarm, life safety system testing, and preventative maintenance services for the Technical Services Department in an amount not to exceed $25,000. This is for the 1 year period, which started January 1st of 2023 through December 31st. Dave?
Sure. Good evening, everybody. Councilman. Both ordinance 19 and 20 are kind of in tandem. One is the 19 is for our fire related systems for testing equipment, and then 20 is for our building automation system. And Johnson Controls are provider. Both of these systems, they bought Simplex Grinnell. Simplex Grinnell is proprietary to some of our systems here, not every one. And then our building automation system is Johns Controls, which it's the main company. But anyways, we do these yearly. These are yearly contracts, and we use them very good. We use them for testing and also to maintain our medicine system.
I see the
good company.
One division is out of Dublin. I see for John Crow, the other one right here in Garfield.
Garfield Heights, yeah. They have offices all over. But yes, Garfield Heights is the main one that they use. One in Strongville also. Their main office might be out of Dublin. But these are yearly contracts. We have them every year with John's Controls for years.
Is it a flat fee we pay them no matter, or do they turn in?
Oh, no, it's not a flat fee. There's, if we don't use this money, I have four visits from Johnson Control for our building automation system owed from us from last year yet. We typically, on ordinance number 2023-20, we typically have 12 visits a year from them. And also, there's money in there for equipment or for hardware. And they have four visits. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to upgrade building by building. I have some money in there for some software and some hardware, both. And we're going to start with the fire department. Our current system is 2011, our software system. But we're going to upgrade it, and it works very well. To answer your question, Councilman, if we don't have to spend all this money, and if we don't spend it, it'll carry over to next year.
Thank you.
We have both these companies. By the way,
I say Simplex Grinnell was proprietary to some of our fire systems, fire alarm systems, and Johns Control about 2 years bought Simplex Grinnell. So they're a parent company.
And do we have fire alarm systems in all of our buildings, or there's some that?
Pretty much. There's some buildings we don't have fire alarm systems in. Tech Service doesn't have a fire alarm system. We have a burglar alarm, smoke alarm, but not really a, but not all our buildings are sprinkled. We don't have one in Old Town Hall. You know, there are various buildings, but our main buildings, our campus buildings, pretty much, we have alarm systems in.
But not in tech services?
Pardon me?
Not in tech services, though?
No, we have a burglar alarm. Like I say, it's a smoke alarm. So you could, it's a fire alarm, but we don't have that service. Yeah, the service has an alarm system and it's a smoke alarm. Not all our buildings are sprinkled, so we have various buildings, but some of these involve, like the Civic Center involve, you know, more testing for sprinkler alarms. Fire department, you know, city hall here. So we don't have sprinklers all over, but there's certain areas that are sprinkled.
Any questions for Dave? Any problem, any opposing either of these ordinances on the consent agenda? Like Dave said, this has been routine every year.
Every year, no.
Very good. So
the amounts are a little bit different depending on what we're doing, but every year it's the same. Like I say, prior it used to be two, Simplex Grinnell and Johnson. Now that Johnson bought Simplex Grinnell about 2-3 years ago, it's the same. It's like one company. Very good text, by the way. Very good.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
We move on to page 4 of the agenda. Ordinance number 2023-21. This ordinance is accepting the bid of Specialized Construction Inc. for the city's 2023 crack seal program contract in an amount not to exceed $295,317.50. Don, I understand that this is higher than normal. I think we did budget, I think verbally a budget of what, $225,000. But that explains some of the, well, the cost, of course, is one thing. The cost of the material has risen, but also some of the work that is going to be done under this contract.
Correct, Vice Mayor. Yes, we recognize that the Rockside Road is degrading over time. We've done a great job maintaining it over the years, and we want to continue that to be proactive. So a good chunk of funding in this contract is earmarked and designated for partial depth repairs and crack sealing of the concrete joints that are deteriorating out on Rockside Road. And we do have a specific line item for maintenance on Rockside Road corridor that we can utilize to fund the difference between the bid of $295 and what was earmarked in the budget of $225. We were also successful, and we just received notification last week. We received a preventive maintenance grant from the county specifically for work on Rockside Road and Pleasant Valley Road. So that'll help offset some of these additional costs. This project, this contract, while it says crack seal, can really be, it's really a pavement preservation contract. It has all the three different treatments that we utilize to preserve our roads. Crack seal work, mask surface sealing, which we intend to do in the Lafayette subdivision, and then the rejuvenating agent, penetrating surface sealing. We're going to apply that to the Hemlock Trail, which has been in existence now for 3, 4, 5 years now. And we thought it would be good to do proactive, do some preventative maintenance on it. So the contract is pretty robust. Last year we had 5,000 gallons of crack seal, 108% increase in the volume of material. We had 9,000 gallons in this year's contract. So another reason why the cost of the overall contract went up.
And then what's the dollar amount of the grant from the county? Do you know approximately?
The total grant was $47,000, and it included, they only paid for materials, not labor. Mm-hmm. So materials for work on Rockside Road and on Pleasant Valley, East Pleasant Valley.
So that'll be, will we use that also towards this contract?
It's a, you have to put the money out up front, and so it's reimbursed by reimbursement.
I see. Any questions for Don?
Don, what's done when you talk about the full depth repairs on Rockside?
Partial depth, well, there's two treatments. Partial depth is a grinding machine cuts down the concrete, the deteriorated joint approximately 2 to 3 inches, and then it's packed in with asphalt and that nice confined, try to keep it to about no wider than 12 inches in width, but we have the ability to make them wider. And it's a nice treatment, it's efficient, it goes quickly, and the track is able to get on it immediately when the work is completed. The more expensive, more painful treatment is the full depth pavement repairs. The concrete is 12 inches thick, so we do have some alternate bid items in the concrete program for work on the Rockside Road corridor. It's more expensive, and it's that work is designated to be performed on Friday night and Saturday so that the concrete can be cured and open for traffic on Monday. This work and the crack seal program, partial depth repairs, are also specified to be at night or on weekends, just because of the traffic volume is not on Rockside Road.
Thank you.
So we're going to do both of them on Rockside Road, Don?
Well, in this contract, Councilman Narduzzi, just the partial depth repairs, because that's what Specialized is able to perform. Cast Construction would be the contractor to do the full depth repairs. That work hasn't been authorized yet. It was an alternate bid in last year's contract, but we still have the ability to pull the trigger if additional funds are available. That test needs to be discussed.
And Don, have we ever bundled partial depth repairs into our crack sealing contracts before, or is this the first time?
No, we've done it. We did. The last time we did work on Rockside Road was 5 to 7 years ago, and I believe we did it at that time. And those have held up quite well. And so it's been a long time that we've done it this way.
It's amazing. It's been 20 years since Rockside's been in, and it's stayed in really relatively very good shape. The maintenance has been excellent by the city on that. Any other questions for Don? Any opposition to putting this on consent agenda? Seeing none, Deb will put orders 2023-20-21 on the consent agenda. And we have, on your still in the hot seat here, we have ordinance number 2023-22. This ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2022 creek utility and infrastructure maintenance and repairs contract with Cass Construction Company, Inc. And this is amount not to exceed $125,000 for a total contract amount not to exceed $325,000.
Vice Mayor, this is very similar legislation. Back in December, we authorized a similar change order to Geotech Services because they had worked a little bit quicker and went through the money a little bit faster, their appropriation from 2022. Cass had a little bit of a later start, but has been steadily working. Late last year, and even through the spring of this winter, they've been working. And I tried to tally up, show you some categories of work and some of the expenditures that CATS has been performing, and just trying to represent that we're nearing the end of their funding application. And the timing is such that it's kind of mirroring up with the one-year contract extension that would ultimately be needed to extend the contract an additional year and additional funding.
The unit prices are the same.
Correct. So last year we had authorized the lion's share of the funding of $425 to Geotech because the bids originally, the award was kind of awarded similarly. They had received more funding last year, so we tried to be consistent. But there's $125,000 remaining for CATS that we'd like to allocate this year.
And you're pleased with both companies, their quality of work?
Yes, very much so. It's a flexible mechanism that utilizes two different contractors.
Any questions, Don?
Don, the $45,000 that you have itemized as miscellaneous guardrail and fence repairs and replacement,
mm-hmm.
What are some examples of projects that came up to that $45,000?
We've had some guardrails get hit around the city, and the name of this contract, that's why we expanded this from a creek maintenance contract to utility and infrastructure maintenance, just so we can catch the wide gamut of needs that that happen and occur throughout the city. So those guardrails, they're very unique, and only certain contractors perform the work. And so there's been a couple hits. I can tell you specifically there was two on East Pleasant Valley near the intersection of Brookside. One on the turn on the radius, and then there was also some damage on the westbound lane opposite that intersection. The those were two that I can think of. Fences, we had some easements, some drainage easements, one on the paper street at Elmarch and off the hillside, they have a culvert head wall and a little ravine that's had some old fencing cave in and fall in, and we had the fence contractor was, so we had it, went in there and replaced the fencing. Also on Timberman, in the backyards, there's similar head wall and some fencing that just is old and deteriorated over time. It's in city easements, so it's our obligation to maintain and repair those fences.
Now, on the guardrail, this is straight like an on-ramp to the interstate, that's a different, is that ODOT responsible for that?
Yeah, there's one instance of that just recently at Pleasant Valley, the northbound entrance ramp to 77 North, right again, and the center was damaged. That one, we didn't touch that one, ODOT must have handled that.
Do we get reimbursed by the insurance company if somebody hits a guardrail or a fence?
If we know, if there's an accident report and we can identify and be responsible party, then I do believe finance department, Dennis has had occasions to chase that down and coordinate with insurance companies on repairs.
Yes, that's correct. If we have a police report and there's somebody we can identify, we do attempt to go after the reimbursement.
Any other questions? Any opposition on putting this on the consent agenda this evening? Seeing none, Deb will have this consent agenda. Ordinance number 2023-23 is ordinance granting a special conditional use permit Cleveland Dance Project for the operation of a dance studio and wellness center. Very good. That's the last two planning commission meetings centered around this young lady who is the owner and founder of the Cleveland Dance Project. Her name is Anna Servin. And she has, I guess, the area's largest all-adult dance organization in the Cleveland Akron area. They come as far as Toledo and Columbus to take classes, also to perform. Matter of fact, they might be on our home days one of these years, if not this year, maybe next year. But she is a physical therapist, works here at Independence, and I'll let...
You were doing such a great job. I didn't need to take it over.
I didn't know you were ever doing very good.
So yes, the Cleveland Dance Project is looking for a special conditional use permit. They are looking to lease about 4,900 square feet in the 5505 Valley Belt Road building. And as the vice mayor said, they are an all-adult dance company. They give adults looking to train, choreograph, perform an opportunity to continue that mission after they've aged out of youth programs. As the vice mayor did state, they do come from Sandusky, Columbus, and Youngstown to participate in the program. The operation started in 2017, and she's looking for a permanent home and has found this location. Again, she'll be taking about 4,900 square feet in the building. The nice thing about the operation is that they are off business hours, so the parking should not be a concern for those businesses that are located in the Valley Belt buildings.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks.
And then you, oh, Jim.
I guess I just have to ask for a clarification. When you use the word adult dance program, that means close out over the age of 18.
Yes, yeah. This is once you age out of ballet or tap or some other sort of dance.
I knew about your
you move. It is not a rated R type operation.
Not one you use.
Thank you for the clarification, for the record.
Yes. Glad I can make that clarification. It is just an age.
John Jill died, right?
And matter of fact, they have she's a charitable organization too that provides, you know, for nursing home, the entertainment for that they provide in that. So, and I think the mayor's not have to.
No, that was the vice mayor's going to do that. I'll do ballroom dancing also.
But she seems to be a very good addition to the. Yes. To the community.
She's been looking for a location for a long time and has found this location, and it being our central location really does help serve that need.
And I know about the landlords real big. I think everybody and none of the other tenants of that building object to
they have not, but they are aware of this operation and they are in support of it.
Any other questions? any crossing that's on the consent agenda this evening? Thank you, Justin. 24 and 25, we've already agreed to go on the consent agenda. We move now to page 5 of the agenda. That's ordinance number 2023-26, oil distribution system for the service department garage. An amount not to exceed, total amount not to exceed $15,052.41. So, Ron, would you like to explain?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Currently, our oil distribution system consists of multiple 55-gallon drums that are stacked on the east wall of the service garage. Each time a mechanic needs oil, he has to walk over and pump his oil 1 gallon at a time and walk back to his bay. The equipment we are servicing takes anywhere from 6 to 36 quarts. So imagine a mechanic having to walk back and forth 40 times. This process is extremely inefficient. The new oil distribution system, which consists of 4 275-gallon tanks positioned on the east wall of the service garage. From there, the oil lines will run up the ceiling and over the mechanic's bays. Each mechanic will have access to oil dispensing nozzles, which will track the amount of oil being distributed. From here, the mechanics will enter the oil amount into timer. We can now track our oil usage per vehicle and in total shop use. All labor will be done in-house. In the event a new service department is built, the system will easily be removed and reinstalled in the new building. Today I'm asking, requesting council approval for the oil distribution system. This purchase intends to utilize an existing 2015 purchase order that is earmarked as miscellaneous upgrades to the service department, totaling
Thank you, Ron. And it'll be installed by both tech services and service department employees?
That is correct.
Any questions for Ron? Any problem bringing this on consent agenda? We'll do so, David. We move to ordinance number 2023-27. And this ordinance accepting the proposal of Cass Construction Inc. for the Cleaver Court Reconstruction Improvements Contract. An amount not to exceed $1,098,644.56. Don, would you like to explain?
Sure. Sergeant Aaron, this is a much anticipated project that has been earmarked in the capital plan. It was advertised late February and received 4 good bids on March 8th, and all from very familiar, reputable contractors that have all performed well for us here in the city. So we would have been satisfied if any one of these contractors had received the award. The engineer's estimate was $1.6 million, which admittedly was inflated even higher than the consulting engineers had thought. They were more like 1.3, and Sonatmont would be the low bidder, and to account for these anomalies that we've been seeing in the industry with construction, we wanted to be high and conservative. So we were very pleasantly surprised at the low bid values, all of the bids actually. There was one alternate bid that came up at the resident meeting, and there was a request from the resident, at least one resident, for some decorative street lighting that was complementary to what was out on Brecksville Road as a result of our recent widening and streetscape project out there, because it looked so nice and so attractive. And we made no promises, but we wanted to give council the opportunity to consider it. And so we put an alternate bid together. Things came in. We estimated about $150,000 for that work, and bids were pretty close to that. And $140,000 was Cass Construction's only bid. We know there's a lot of ramifications and consequences, but precedents that may be set, because we have never done this historically in a residential neighborhood, and we are not obligated to consider that alternate tonight. The request is strictly to award the base bid at this time, have a resident meeting, and circle back with council to consider this specific alternate bid. We have at least 3 to 4 weeks that we can kick it around and consider it. And potentially, if we want to pursue it, we could authorize a change order as early as next month if it was council's decision and desire to do so.
I remember correctly, I don't think anybody else was around back when we did the door project, but that was part of the lighting there was part of, I've heard you were part of that. Council
early approved. 2000s.
Yeah. And I know that was part of the hit of the, that area has the decorative lighting on those. So it does look good. this is because of the confined area, it might be a different story, but I'd like to explore it if we can. I mean, the people down there suffered for neglect, I'd say, for about 40, 50 years, 60 years, so. I mean, to do something, plus it's, there's presence on Brexville Road as that kind of lighting, so. Dale, if you can, like, through your committee, maybe take a look at it, just as any addition, just to see if it's something that we want to entertain or maybe not, I don't know. Because we're going to be doing Fongano next, everything down in that area, so. If we do it for Cleaver, we certainly probably want to do it for Longano too, and they're right there by Cornerstone and everything else, but it's something at least to consider.
Well, that was one of my big concerns, is the cost per house is about $8,000.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, and that $140,000, in my mind's eye, would be better applied to Longano and the other future projects, more of the main road sidewalk construction rather than the decorative.
I understood, yeah. And then the other guy, can I ask you, I never heard of it, SET Incorporated? Is that a new name for that? I've not seen that one before.
Yeah, they actually, this contract was hired by the city back in, I think, 2016 when we did the street light and sidewalk project on Rockside Place.
I see.
Youngstown or Warren. So yeah, they don't do a lot of work this way, but they did. Were awarded that contract.
And then Trimore, did Trimore have a project previously?
Yeah, they did Breton Drive.
Yeah, I remember.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
So as it relates to this, we had a community meeting with the people on Cleaver, correct? What was their view on sidewalks?
Yeah, it was pretty well received that we were, right now this project was planned and designed to accommodate just a 5-foot sidewalk on the south side of the road. And it just was a 50-foot right of way, very narrow, and we too much of an impact we felt to try to get sidewalks on both sides of the street, but we seemed to be able to engineer it and fit it adequately in the right of way on the south side.
And this bid includes that sidewalk?
It does.
So I couldn't read the... I've got concerns about putting any sidewalks down, to be honest with you. I think if you're taking a lot of people, you're taking quite a bit of their property because it's a small setback, so we didn't get much pushback on that.
No.
I don't know, that's a surprise at that meeting.
Yeah, no.
Okay. And they want it, okay.
Any other questions, Ken?
And Don, this is bid for 7-inch concrete pavement?
Correct, that meets our residential standard.
Is that when we did Maple Leaf and Hickory Nut, those were 7-inch as well, or were those?
Correct, yeah.
Maple, yep, Hickory Nut, 7 inches.
Cats did that project?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they did.
And I'm sorry, one other quick question.
Yes, sir.
What are you at the end of the street there? I mean, are we trying to expand that, or are you going to keep it the same in terms of the little partial cul-de-sac there?
The design was for a full, it doesn't meet our standard, but it's much better. It meets our couple of roads that exist in the city. Oval, Drive, Serial have about 70, 72-foot diameters. This will be at least that, which will be significantly improved. It is on private property. We appraised the land and do anticipate securing permanent easements to build a cul-de-sac at the very end of the street.
Thank you.
Mayor, that property is owned by...
Is that Dallin?
It's not Dallin anymore, but it's one of the family members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Don?
When would we anticipate to do a project?
If we award it tonight, typically it takes about a month to get contracts signed and get the materials ordered and delivered. So at least a month away from the start of anything tangible. And once we get going, I do believe we earmarked a 4-month construction scheduled for this work. So we'd ideally like to hit the sweet spot of the summer, June, July, August, September area. Start a little bit earlier in May, June, July, August.
And I don't believe the school bus goes down. At least I never did.
No.
We'll be
all set now.
Yeah. Very good. Any other questions? Any opposition to this on the consent agenda? Debbie, we'll go on consent.
Okay.
We move to our last piece of legislation, resolution number 2023-3. It's a resolution authorizing James Aparo to retain possession of his fire department helmet and duty badge upon retirement. And I think we got the memo, Chief, that you have been 20 years at the.
Yeah, Jim started his career with us March 4th of 2003. At that time, he was a nurse and wanted to give back to the community. He took a bridge course to become a paramedic and then got his fire training as well. He worked with us for many years and then got on full-time in Strongsville. So he continued to work those three jobs, us, Strongsville, and as a nurse. When he reached his 20-year mark, he felt like that was enough. One of the more proud moments for Jim was his son, Nick, got on the department part-time and then later full-time. So his family's definitely given a lot back, and I think Nick's going to carry on that little power of spirit and dedication to the community. So just to give him a token of our appreciation, and wanted to provide him with his helmet badge.
Very good. I don't think there's any problem. I think council unanimously agree with that decision, Steve. We'll put that on the consent agenda then.
Okay.
And then, Mayor, I don't know if you wanted to the liquor transfer from Rockland and Partners, Inc., DBA Tavern of Independence, to the, I guess that's Spence Me LLC, DBA Tavern of Independence. Right. Any opposition on council to that? That's new ownership there. Mm-hmm. Very good. Mayor, it's all yours.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you. Good evening. We have the regular meeting of council of March 14th, 2023. Clerk will call the roll.
DeGeronimo?
Here.
Brent Bell?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Tagliati?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Reverca?
Here.
Welch Chamberlain?
Here.
And we have our prayer by Pastor Michelle Thompson of the Rockside Church. Thank you, Michelle.
Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. May your face continually shine upon us so that your ways may be known in our communities. Lord, we give you our homes, our labor, and our city. Look with favor on our community. Protect our citizens and leaders, and enrich our city so that we may be a blessing to others. Thank you, Lord, for all our civil servants. Thank you for their hard work and their sacrifice. May you continually bless them. May you generously give to each of them wise and discerning hearts to skillfully govern the people of our city. Give the mayor, the city leaders, staff, and city council wisdom so that they may solve problems, distinguish between right and wrong, and bring order, stability, and prosperity to our community. Give them grace to bring truth and justice and stability to this region. And give them the power to do what is right and to rule in fairness. May our community be known for its justice. Let it always prosper from the influence of good men and women. May you revive our city with new life, and may every person, marriage, family, school, and business in our community enjoy the blessings of God. Let the benefits of your people influence this city. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Michelle. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Audience participation? Anybody? All right. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of council of February 14th, 2023, the Community Services Committee meeting of February 28th, 2023?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And they are adopted. Our reports will be submitted. Let's see, we have, do I have a motion to the approval of the consent agenda? Our items listed in our consent agenda and identified as the same. They're considered routine. Each item will be read individually into the record, and then the consent agenda will be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. I have a motion to read the consent agenda by title only.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Ordinance 2023-16, an ordinance amending ordinance 2022-137, authorizing the purchase and delivery of four new 2023 Ford Explorer Interceptors for the police department. Ordinance 2023-17, an ordinance authorizing the purchase of a sidewalk snowplow machine for the service department. Ordinance 2023-18, an ordinance accepting the proposal of JME Hospitality for professional food and beverage design and consulting services for the Civic Center Kitchen Renovation Project. Ordinance 2023-19, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Johnson Controls Fire Protection LP to provide fire alarm life safety system testing and preventative maintenance services for the Technical Service Department. Ordinance 2023-20, an ordinance authorizing an extension of the contract with Johnson Controls Inc. to provide preventative maintenance services for the city's building technology systems. Ordinance 2023-21, an ordinance accepting the bid of Specialized Construction Inc. for the city's 2023 crack seal program contract. Ordinance 2023-22, an ordinance authorizing change order number one to the city's 2022 creek utility and infrastructure maintenance and repairs contract with Katz Construction Company Inc. Ordinance 2023-23, an ordinance granting a special conditional use permit to Cleveland Dance Project for the operation of a dance studio and wellness center. Ordinance 2023-24, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Code Anna to establish an epinephrine auto-injector program for food allergies. Ordinance 2023-25, an ordinance authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Allison Rose Foundation to establish an epinephrine auto-injector program for food allergies. Ordinance 2023-26, oil distribution system for the service department garage. Ordinance 2023-27, an ordinance accepting the proposal of Katz Construction Inc. for the Kleber Court Reconstruction Improvements Contract. Resolution 2023-3, a resolution authorizing James Lapparo to retain possession of his fire department helmet and duty badge upon retirement.
Do I have a motion to suspend the rules of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions on the consent agenda? Call the roll.
DeGeronimo.
Yes.
Grandel.
Yes.
Narduzzi.
Yes.
Tagliati.
Yes.
Tracus.
Aye.
Ververka.
Yes.
Welch Allen.
Yes. And the consent agenda is adopted. We have ordinance 2023-15.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance authorizing the hiring of American Fireworks Company for professional services for the July 4th Home Days and Tree Lighting Fireworks Displays 2023.
Motion to adopt.
Suspend.
Suspend.
No, it's not second reading.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
Motion to suspend.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grandel.
Yes.
Narduzzi.
Yes.
Tagliani.
No.
Tracus.
Aye.
Ververka.
No.
Walchanowicz.
Yes.
DeGeronimo.
Yes.
And it's adopted. There being no other business before this honorable council, I entertain a motion to adjourn to executive session for real estate and other matters.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
There will be no action.
There will be no.
The purchase and sale of real estate, we may have to amend the records so that's clear what we're going into.
Okay. A motion based on the law director's recommendation for going to executive session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Steve. Greg. Also, for those in attendance, there will be no action taken after the executive session. So I want to thank y'all.
Recording stopped.
Thank all of everyone for being here this evening. Have a great evening, and see most of you tomorrow.